That's why you can't take polls in church. They're not accurate. First Samuel chapter 17. This is a really long chapter, so we're not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to talk you through it, and then we'll stand and read the last part of it. So, chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you. And if you don't have one at home, you can take that and keep that. There will be a copy of God's Word you'll be able to keep and read. 1 Samuel chapter 17. In the first part, what is happening here is the Philistines have gathered together in a place that belongeth to Bethlehem, Judah. So this is land that God had already given them. They conquered, and now they have allowed the enemy to move back in. So the Philistines are camping there on the land that belongs to Judah. It says there in verse 1. And then what happens is these two valleys are, there's a valley there, and there's the army on one side and the army on the other. And there's this big 9-foot-tall giant named Goliath, and he has 125 pounds of armor and 6-pound spearhead, just this crazy big giant. And he comes out and he says, there's no point in having a battle where the rank and file come out and fight. Why don't we just get two mediators to fight this battle? I'll represent the Philistines, and you find someone that represents Israel. And if I win, then you become our servants. And if we win, or you win, then we'll become your servants. And so that's how it will happen. And so he came out there for 40 days, twice a day, and he mocked them. And he says, I defy the armies of God. And at this time, David had previously been in the palace, and then he went home to feed his father's sheep. And his three oldest brothers were at the battle. So what happened is his father, Jesse, said, I want you to take this gifts and bring them to your brother at the battle. And he brought some cheese and some different things to his brothers there at the battle and see how they're doing. And while he was talking to them, this giant comes up and he's talking and he's mocking God and defying the armies of Israel. And David said, why isn't somebody doing anything about this guy? And they're like, oh, I know what you're doing. I know your pride, and you just wanted to leave the sheep there and come to look at the battle because you wanted some excitement in your life. And David said, is there not a cause? And Saul heard him say that. He said, I'll go and fight him. And so Saul comes him forward, and he talks to him. That's where we're going to pick it up in verse 19. So if you will turn, well, it's not 19, I got the wrong verse. So verse 31, if you will find 1 Samuel 17, 31, and stand, and we will read together. And at this time, the children's junior church can be dismissed. And if you have children up to 10, they can go with them. All right, and we're going to read 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine and to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor and put on a helmet of brass upon his head. He also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and assayed to go, for he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowl of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, of the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses, I love that word, carcasses. That's a good word. For to the hosts of the Philistines this day, unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to David, David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines, and thou comest to the valley, to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistine fell down by the way to Shataim, even unto Gath, unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Amen. Brother, can you ask the blessing on the sermon this morning? And as soon as he's done praying, we'll be seated.
Father, blessed be your holy name. Lord, we want to thank you for allowing us to gather here and worship you this morning. Lord, we ask that you please will help us pay attention now to the word that's coming forth, and that you will bless the sermon, Lord, and bless our pastor to deliver the message. We thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus Christ, our Savior's name, for His sake and His glory. Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes when you are very familiar with something, you walk in and you don't see anything out of place. But when you walk into a new place, you notice everything, right? And sometimes that's how it is with the story of Goliath. We've read it so many times that sometimes we miss some of the obvious things that are there. And I don't know if you've ever read the story of David and Goliath, but if you did, you have probably wondered when you read the story, why didn't Saul go against David? Why didn't Saul go against Goliath? Excuse me. He was better fitted. He was taller. He was a man of war. He had been proved in battle. Why was it not Saul that went out and brought the victory home for God's people? Why was it David, the teenager, the youth? And the difference was this, in how they viewed the battle. You know what Saul looked at that battle between Goliath and the armies as? He looked at it as a battle of the flesh. It was up to him. David viewed it as a battle in the spirit. It was up to God. David viewed it as a conflict between Israel and the Philistines, flesh versus flesh, but David viewed it as a conflict between heaven and hell. And when you're not able, and whether or not you are able to face the giants, the problems that pop up in your life, will largely depend on how you view the battle. Giants are always going to come. 9-foot-tall giants with 125 pounds of armor. They're going to show up when you're in the valley, when you least expect it. They're going to show up and they're going to mock your manhood. They're going to mock your womanhood. They're going to mock your Christianity. They're going to show up to mock you twice a day. And they are going to be a constant source of irritation and frustration. Problems that get you stuck in the same place for months. And how you view that battle is going to determine the outcome out for you. The reason Saul didn't defeat him as he looked at him through a different set of eyes than David. Let me ask you this. In the battles of your life, do you look more like Saul or David? Are you hiding behind people? Or are you carrying your problems head around the streets of Jerusalem? You know what David did with that head? Look in verse 17 and verse 54. He brought it to Jerusalem. Now you know what that means? Jerusalem at this time was occupied by the Jebusites. They didn't even have Jerusalem at this time. They conquered it later. So you know what that means? David kept the head. He kept it as a source of encouragement. You ever been to the country and when they kill a deer, they just strap it to their hood and drive around town? We would go to the woods and kill a deer, and I would drag it past my house where I would hang it up, and I would put it on the hood of my truck, and then I would drive to town just to drive around, just so people could see that I killed the deer. You know? And that's what David did. He's carrying this giant's head around, and it's a source of encouragement to him and other people. And he had the problem's armor in his tent. When you look at the battles of your life, let me ask you this. Is the problem's head on the wall? Is the problem's armor, the thing that used to make the problem strong, is it now in your tent something that makes you strong? Is the head on the wall as a source of encouragement to other people? Not for our gratification, but for the glory of God and how He can help win the battle? Now, I don't think that you're going to get in a fight with a 9-foot-tall man. Right? So the problem that we're talking about, the giant we're talking about, is a spiritual battle that you face. And when I say the name of these problems, let me ask you this. Do you feel more like Saul, cowering and hiding behind the people? Or do you feel like David with this problem's head on the wall? What about lust? How many strong people have been kept in prison by this giant? What about anger? How many people's relationships are destroyed by this giant? What about fear? How many people never accomplish what they were meant to accomplish because of this giant? Jealousy. How many people never enjoy what God gave them because of this giant? Are you David or Saul? What about depression? How many people can never enjoy God's creation and the food that they eat and the beautiful moments of life because of this giant? Covetousness. How many people around you are not thankful for the truly wonderful position they have in life because of the giant of covetousness? Moderation. How many people's lives are cut short because of this giant? We could talk about people, marriage, relationships, health, money, work, children. Where you will end up in the battle of life, whether you will end up as David or Saul, depends on how you view this battle. Now, what was wrong with Saul? Number one, he failed to see the battle for what it was. Look at verse 43. The Philistine in verse 41 comes out to David. He comes out to fight against him. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And the Philistine looked about and he saw David and he disdained him, for he was but a youth. Look what he says in verse 43. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David, what does it say? By his gods. It was a spiritual battle. He cursed him by his gods. The battle that you're in, it's a spiritual battle. It may look like a physical battle, but it is a spiritual battle. Look at this. He says, you know what he says in verse 44? The Philistine said, come to me and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Isn't that the same thing that the Lord says in Revelation 19 when he's fighting against the armies of the Antichrist and the devil? He said, I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. This is not just this is a spiritual battle. It's something that is going on between heaven and hell. This is the land that they're fighting on that God already gave them in verse 1. And the devil was trying to take back something that God had already given them. Look at verse 45. David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thy carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the field, that all the earth may know what? There is a God in Israel." Look what he goes on to say. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And He, God, will give you into our hands." You know what David did? He saw this as a spiritual battle. Not Saul. Saul thought it was my life or the giants. David said, "The battle is the Lord's. It's not my life. It is not my reputation on the line, but it is the Lord's reputation on the line. It's God's reputation. He's defying the armies of the living God. I'm going to go out in the name of the Lord. This is the Lord's battle." Is that how you view the battle you're fighting? It's not my life. It's not my reputation. It was the Lord's honor. It wasn't for personal enrichment. Saul said, "I'll give you my daughter." How ugly must that woman have been? Because nobody took him up on it. Like, "I'll give you my daughter." Yeah. I'm not going out there. I thought that was funny. And if you read about what happened to them, it turned out that those women weren't that big of a blessing anyway, right? And he said, I'll make your father's house free and I'll enrich him and all these things. And you know what happened to David when he came? His brothers reproached him and accused him of coming for the wrong motive. He didn't get an argument with them. He said, "Is there not a cause?" You know why he didn't get an argument with them, even though they falsely accused him? Because it wasn't a personal battle. It was a spiritual battle. He wasn't fighting against his brothers. He wasn't fighting against the members of his own army. He was out there to fight in the name of the Lord against the enemies of God. He wasn't depending on his skill. He wasn't depending on his size. He wasn't depending on his weapons. This battle that you're facing may seem physical, but it's not. It's a spiritual battle. And the things that you're facing are used by the devil to get your mind off the Lord and onto yourself and to your problems. This army was not thinking about God. You know who they were thinking about? They were thinking about Goliath. And that is how we do when we have problems as well. We start viewing the giant of our problem instead of viewing the Lord. And that's what the devil uses to get our mind off of God. You know, I was talking to a friend, and he's dealing with some different difficulties in his church. And he's not a pastor, and he's in charge of this small group. And there's this relationship problem that's going on. And so this one guy came to him and he said, "I don't want to work with them because I don't like the way they do this, 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 and this. And I know they're good at what they do and I know that they care, but I don't want to work with them anymore because of these things." And he said, "Okay, well, would you be willing to talk to them?" "Well, you know, I don't want to talk to them because I know they're very passionate. And I don't want that passion towards against me. And I don't know how they will receive it. And you know, they might think this and they might think that." And then he said, "Well, what do you think God wants?" And he said, "Well, the scripture's very clear. He wants us to dwell together in unity. He wants us to, if we have a problem, he wants us to go and we want to confront them and talk about it. And he wants us to be on the same page. And the scripture's very clear about that. But I don't want to do it because of the giant and how that might turn out." And they get their eyes on the problem instead of getting their eyes on God. And I was thinking this, you know, when it comes to churches and communities and getting together, sometimes we spend so much time managing relationships, we forget why we're here. because we get our eyes on the problem instead of on God. And I don't know what your problem is and what you are dealing with, but instead of looking at it through spiritual eyes, we look at it through the eyes of our problem. We can't see our problem through the eyes of Goliath. Through the eyes of Goliath, nobody is strong enough. If you think about it, Goliath is a representative of the devil. And through the eyes of the devil, not even Job, nobody is strong enough. The devil even thought he could take the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he tried. Do you think he went and tried because he thought he would fail? He went there and he tempted the Lord and he tried to ask him to turn the stones into bread and jump off the pinnacle of the temple and all those other temptations. You know why? Because through the eyes of our problem, nothing is strong enough and the problem will defeat anything. He thought he could take him. These giants, they rob you of your joy. They paralyze you with fear. They get your mind off of eternity. Listen, lust, it's not just a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. It robs so many people of getting saved. It's taken their joy away and it's made them cower. They won't go and plow the land that God has given them and reap the fruit of it because they are living on it like a slave. You know, health problems can be a giant like that. We start looking at these problems that we're facing and we start putting our hope in flesh and think our hope is in getting better. Our hope is not in being healed. Our hope is in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that will deal with it permanently. And if we're not dealing with it and viewing it as a spiritual battle, we will be defeated. You have to look at it through the eyes of Scripture and through the eyes of the Lord. You know what Goliath did? He played by David's... Saul, you know what Saul did? He played by Goliath's rules. David didn't. Saul said, you send a man out here and we'll fight hand-to-hand combat and we'll see this. And why did he listen to him? Why didn't he say, you might be 9 foot tall and you might be strong for any of us, but you're not strong enough for all of us? Why didn't they just swarm him, 200 people, and kill him? Why? Because they were playing by the problem's rules. They were playing by the giant's rules, and you can't do that. And you know what David did? He didn't play by the rules. He went there and he got a sling. And you know the best weapon back in those days you could fight a giant with is a sling? That was the best weapon. How are you going to stay out of reach of his long spear and sword? With a sling. How are you going to get high enough to hit him in the head? With a sling. They didn't even have any swords in those days. The Philistines had taken them all. But David was out there in the field with his sling and with his rock and he was practicing and being good. And when the giant came, he was ready. Why? He did not play by his rules. He played by the Lord's rules and went along and did what God wanted him to do. He said, this day will God deliver you into my hand. David looked at it through the eyes of God, not through the eyes of Goliath. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and the rules of this darkness in high places. It's not a flesh and blood battle. And until you see it through spiritual eyes, you won't have a reason to fight. Until you get a kingdom perspective, you won't have a reason to fight. You know what you'll do? You'll just learn to live with Goliath. Until you see that this is God's reputation on the line, that this is a spiritual battle. How long did the giant come? For 40 days. Twice a day. They learned to live with them. It just became a ritual. Imagine, hey guys, what are you doing today? Oh, we're getting dressed up for battle. Yeah, well, how's that going to go? Well, we're going to go out there and then Goliath is going to come out and then we're going to scream and run. Okay, well, what are you going to do tonight? We're going to do the same thing. What did you do last week? All last week, twice a day, we got our armor on and we went out to battle and Goliath came out and said, send them in! And we went running for our tents. And that's what we plan on doing indefinitely. Have you learned to live with Goliath? Have you learned to live with your problem and just accept your problem? And the things, and understand it's a spiritual battle, and the Lord's reputation is on the line, and eternity hangs in the balance, and it matters what you do. What happens when the giant comes out? Do you even fight? Listen, he cannot be beaten in the flesh. He cannot be beaten with self-help books. He cannot be beaten by trying harder. He cannot be beaten by just doing it. You cannot fight a spiritual battle in the flesh. Look at verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor. He's trying to help him fight in the flesh. He put a helmet of brass on his head. What kind of helmet did Goliath have? A helmet of brass. What did Goliath have? He had armor. He had a coat of mail. What did Goliath have? Goliath had a sword. And he said, I haven't proved these. And he took them off. He tried to arm him the same way the enemy is armed. He tried to get him to fight the same way the enemy fought. And if you meet the devil on his terms, there is not a sword big enough. There's not a helmet big enough. There's not a man big enough. If you fail to consider the spiritual implications of the giant, there's not a pill big enough. There's not a doctor big enough. There is not a lawyer big enough. There's not a self-help book that's big enough. There's not armor strong enough to withstand the giant's blows. Why? Because he's the champion of the flesh. He's the champion. He was a man of war from his youth, and many a strong man has been defeated by him. He's the strongest man of the flesh there is, and you can't fight him in the flesh. You can't fight him with his own weapons. Listen, guys, if you ever want to get rid of this giant, and get rid of this problem that is holding you back from obtaining the ground that God wants you to have and the victory that God wants you to have. If you ever want to get the power over the giant, you cannot fight him in the flesh. You have to get a hold of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle, and Saul never saw it as a spiritual battle. He wanted to fight it with a bigger man and a bigger sword and a bigger helmet. And that's not how it's fought. See the battle for what it is. It's a spiritual battle. Get on your knees and fight with the weapons He gave you. Get the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and the breastplate of righteousness. Get your loins girt about with truth and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And get on your knees and pray and fight your battle with the Lord. Do you hope in a bigger man? Or in God? How do you view the battle? Number two, he failed to see David for who he was. Not only did he fail to see the battle for what it was, he failed to see David for who he was. Look at chapter 17 in verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And look what Saul says in verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine and fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. What did Saul not see? He did not see who David really was. He thought he was not able. You know what he thought he was doing? He thought he was sending David out to his death. Well, he's back in the tent and he's writing his parents. You know, he fought for his country and he died bravely. He, you know, dress him up and just send him out there and hope for the best. But he didn't anticipate what was going to happen. He said, you're not able to go. You're nothing but a kid. He saw him as nothing compared to the giant, a boy, a stripling. But how could he see him for who he was if he couldn't see the battle for what he was? It was. You know what he missed? He missed that this was the deliverer that the Lord had chosen to bring victory to the whole army. And he didn't see him as God's choice. Where was David coming from? Where was David from? Look at verse 15. He didn't see him as the man coming from Bethlehem. Where did the Lord come from? He came from Bethlehem. You know what he didn't see? He didn't see Goliath for who he was, a representative of the devil. And he didn't see David for who he was, a representative of the coming Messiah, the coming deliverer. He didn't see him as the man from Bethlehem. He said, you're nothing, you can't go. And he missed, he didn't see that he was God's choice. You see, David's a type of Christ in this passage. He was a representative of Jesus Christ. And God put this story in the Bible, so when Jesus faced the devil on the cross, you would see, oh, I see what's happening. I've read about this before. When he said on the cross, who is my adversary? Let him come near. You would say, I remember this. This happened down there on that battlefield with the valley between darkness and light. When he said in Genesis 3 and verse 15 that the coming Messiah would bruise his head and then he fell down with the stone in his head. You know what is interesting about this? How many days was it until David showed up? 40 days. Remember the Lord fought and he was tempted after 40 days of the devil in the wilderness and he came out on the other side a deliverer. You remember that? Moses, 40 days and then he received the commandments. Elijah, 40 days and then he learned how to deliver Egypt. Remember the Israelites, they did something. They wandered in the wilderness for how many years? And then Joshua showed up to deliver them and lead them into the promised land. And you know what Joshua is called in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews? He's called Jesus. And after 40 days, David shows up after 40 days to fight with Goliath. You know what else about David was that he missed? David was anointed of God. Samuel had gone down to Bethlehem and he took a horn of oil, not just a vial, and poured a whole horn of oil on David's head. Listen, Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says about Jesus? That the Spirit was poured on him without measure. The Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus Christ and anointed of the Father, and he went forth to fight the great battle of the church. You know what he missed about David? He was about his father's business. You know what his father said? He said, I want you to take these things to thy brethren and see how they fare. Jesus was about his father's business. David was about his father's business. And you know what else he missed? When David got there, he came unto his own and his own received him not, but they entreated him spitefully. You know what happened when Jesus Christ came? He came unto his own and his own received him not. They treated him spitefully. They said, let's kill him and the vineyard will be ours. He came bearing gifts. David answered his brethren with gentleness. He didn't turn railing for railing. When he reviled not again. He was motivated by love for his people. He saw them defied by the Philistines. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He came unto his own. He was all the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He was told that the man that killed Goliath would marry the king's daughter. And it said, the Bible said Jesus did it for the joy that was set before him. He was going to have the church for his spouse. You know what Goliath is? He's a champion. He's the mediator for the dark side. There's the host of the Philistines on one side. And there's a host of Israel on the other side, and a valley lays between. And Goliath said, I will represent the Philistines. There's no need for the army to come fight. You send a man out that can represent Israel, and we will fight, and the two of us will decide the battle. And you know what? We all fell in Adam. And in that dreaded battle, they were going to decide who would serve who. We all fell in Adam, and there became another one. a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he came out and he fought with the devil on the cross of Calvary, and once and for all he decided who would serve who. And he won the battle that none of us could have won in ourselves. Listen, one thing that we miss about Goliath, Goliath was undefeatable. Nobody there could defeat him. It was only God's man and God's deliverer done with God's power. And you have to recognize David for who he is. He was the deliverer that God sent that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He decided the battle for us. We would have been defeated by the giant, but for the Lord. The arm of the Lord was revealed through him, and his one arm was enough to bring victory. You know what David did? He fought in a different way. You know what Jesus said? He said, "Put up your sword. My kingdom is not from hence. If it was, my servants would fight." He fought the battle in a different way. And you know what David did? He took the sword from Goliath and he cut off his head with his own sword. And you know what Jesus did? Through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. He, death by dying, slew and cut off the giant's head with his own sword. The cross that was meant to be the death of the Savior was the death of sin, like the sword of Goliath. He missed it. The key to killing Goliath is the man from Bethlehem. And when you're fighting these giants in your life, you can't kill them. You have to have the man from Bethlehem. You have to have the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came and killed him for you. And you know what you'll hear? You'll hear 1,000 sermons on how to kill the giant. And I'm here to tell you, you can't kill him. You can't. Haven't you tried? I've tried. I've tried 1,000 times to kill the giant. Until I realize I can't kill him, I need the man from Bethlehem, I need the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the giant killer. He's the one that gives me the victory. Jesus conquered sin. He has the power of death, and you must allow him to kill your giants. You know what he did? He tried to help him by putting his armor on. Jesus doesn't need our help. The things you're facing can never be defeated by a better strategy, only by a better fighter. Are you putting your hope for victory in your own strength or in the strength of Jesus, the deliverer who has been proven time and time again? I want you to look at your giant that's laughing at you and mocking you. Look at the giants in your life that you're facing that we talked about earlier. What's your giant? What is your hope in its defeat? Is it you? Or is it the Savior? Do you feel like He's not strong enough? Do you feel like your giant is stronger than the Lord? You know, I watched that new Pilgrim's Progress movie. How many of you have seen the new one? They redid it. 3 people. It's incredible. And there's this place where Christian, he's progressing along, and he falls in the slough of despondency and he's drowning and he cries out for help. And as soon as he cries out for help, help comes and helps him out. And help tells him, he said, whenever you face something that's too strong for you, you have to cry out for help, and help is always near. It might not be in the way you see it, and not might be how you see it, but you call out for help and help will arrive. And then a giant captured him. And it was called the Giant of Despair, and Giant put him in a cage. But he had another friend in the cage with him, his name was Hopeful. And the giant was there rattling the cage, and it looked like he would be destroyed. And Hopeful said, "We won't be destroyed, there's strength, we must cry out for help." And he cried out for help, and he got the key that let him out. And one thing I wanted to tell you from that is, look, the Lord can help you, and He is more powerful than the giant. And He can give you the sword to kill the giant with and the way to destroy him. You don't have to be hopeless. Do you see your problem? You see Jesus or the giant? The Bible says we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God in pulling down of strongholds. he ran and stood on the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And then look at verse 51, the last part of the verse. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now look at verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine until thou comest to the valley. And the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shaarim, even to Gath and to Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistine, and they spoiled their tents. He gave them the victory. He gave them the victory. They were getting victory from His victory. They were more than conquerors through Him that loved Him and won the victory for Him. We need to think ourselves as victory. Our Lord has won the victory. He killed the giant. So you and I can go kill the Philistines and the small things around. We get our victory from His victory. That's how we get our victory, from His victory. He killed the giant, so it makes the Philistines possible to defeat. How do you view it? As a physical force? A bigger sword? I want you to understand it has spiritual and eternal implications, and it must be dealt with as such. What is our hope of deliverance? Do you create your own victory or fight in the Lord's? Every giant in here can be defeated without a doubt because it's not your power, but it's the Lord's power. Now I want you to take your heart, give it to the Lord, and I want to take your sling and put the Word of God in your sling and get on your knees and go sling it at the giant. And when you get him down this time, I want you to cut his head off so he doesn't come back up. God gives you the victory to it. You know what happens? We knock the giant down and he's knocked out for a while, but we don't cut his head off. Finish the job. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And I want you to cut his head off and hang it on your wall. Why? Not for our glory, but for the glory of the Lord. Look at Psalm 30. Psalm chapter 30, and we're done. Psalm chapter 30. Let me make sure I have that reference right. In verse 11, Psalm 30, 11. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. So, your problem, your mourning, your he's put it off. He's taking care of it. Why? Verse 12. To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Why did God take care of your problem? That your glory, the benefit or the way people view you from that, would be to the praise and the glory of God forever. And you know what would bring the Lord a lot of glory? If every one of us could take people to our house and show them the giant's heads that are on the wall and take them to the tent and show them the armor in the tent. And where that giant used to be a source of discouragement, now every time we look at it, it's a source of encouragement. And the thing that used to make the giant strong is now something that makes us strong. And how is that battle defeated? It's through the man from Bethlehem, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You so much, Father, for this story of David and Goliath, Lord, and the spiritual things that we can draw from this, Lord. I want to thank You for everybody that's here. And I pray, Lord, that the words of this sermon, the words of Your Bible here this morning, and this story would be a blessing to us. Help us every time we read it now to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we read through it, we'll find more and more things, and that picture would become more and more clear of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that you haven't left us to defeat these things by ourselves. You have won the battle for us, and now we can take courage and we can go after the Philistines, Lord, and the problems in our life, because you have defeated the giant. And I want to pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.